Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Potentially have some reinforcements coming between, you know, when we get TJ back, when we get Jalen back, when we get Kyler back. I think those are three guys going into the season you had a lot of high hopes for and what they could do. I certainly had a tremendous amount of respect for all three of those guys competing against them the last few years. And so I'll be excited when we get all three back on the field together.
Whenever that is, it's Ben Johnson, Bears coach, talking about Bears players who aren't going to play. Jalen Johnson, the window opened yesterday. The Bears opened their window. Carter Gordon's window is likely to open Monday. TJ Edwards, well, he's been ruled out for the Vikings game, and that's what's most immediate, not looking into the future. Like, the time they play Green Bay, maybe they'll have everybody together. Maybe the secondary will be together. They'll be healthy. Although in this sport, it doesn't seem like it. So let's start with kind of defense they're going to be putting out there. Joining me on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline is Nicholas Moriano, Bears analyst and digital media for Marquee Sports Network and host of the Nicholas Moriano Show on YouTube. Nicholas, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Steve. Big game this upcoming Sunday, and we'll see who's actually out there and, you know, out there for that defense.
All right, so who's going to be out there? And if it's not TJ Edwards, are the Bears, in fact, missing their best player on defense? And you can argue, you can have the argument amongst yourself with Jalen Johnson or TJ Edwards, but the TJ Edwards effect is not to be dismissed, is it?
No, you definitely don't dismiss a guy like that. But, you know, Tremaine Edmonds, the other linebacker there, has been having a really good season. And I do think this will impact this upcoming Sunday, though, not having a guy like TJ, just because when you think about what hurt the Bears in that first week one matchup, it wasn't really Aaron Jones on the ground. It was Aaron Jones as a pass catcher. And I think that's where you see the limitations of a Noah Sewell, who will most likely be filling in for a TJ Edwards, have a factor in this game because of Aaron Jones' capabilities as a pass catcher. Had a 27-yard touchdown in that first week one matchup, and you know that's where obviously the lead started to dissipate for the Bears, and the Vikings came back. But yeah, you are missing a key player, but if you're Dennis Allen's defense, you need to make sure you have a guy like Aaron Jones in check in the pass game, especially in those check down passes, swing routes. But it is a loss for the Bears, but hopefully TJ can, you know, trend in the right direction. It's the hamstring, right, that's really keeping him off the field. Like, I think he's going to play with the club, and, you know, we'll see how effective he can be.
So how would you, if you're Dennis Allen, how would you minimize that obvious weakness and obvious advantage for your passing offense if it's Aaron Jones going out for a pass, if Aaron Jones is a receiver instead of a runner? How would you minimize that? What would you do if you were Dennis Allen?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I mean, I think it first starts with how they've been practicing this week. I think you just got to, like, coach speak here, read your keys. Like, knowing when Aaron Jones is going to actually leak out, it's all eye discipline there, Steve. So, obviously, the Vikings are going to do a lot of eye candy in the backfield, misdirection. But for guys like Tremaine Edmonds, Noah Sewell, it's not taking that first bite at the apple, so to speak, if you see run action when, you know, it's going to be a pass to the opposite side. So it is really about eye discipline. But, you know, honestly, I think a guy like C.J. Gardner-Johnson being implemented in the nickel in this one, he could play a huge factor in making some open field tackles. And he's made a seamless transition. into that nickel corner spot. And, you know, it's a position where there's a lot of communication going on from CJ to the outside corner to CJ to whoever's the inside linebacker to his side. So I think he can also play a huge role in trying to limit some of those plays that leak out in the flats and where you just got to make a good open field tackle.
What did you see in the openers? I get a kick out of watching the Bears come back, and Jaquan Brisker said this week after they went over the Giants, we don't win this game last year. Dude, you didn't win this game in week one when you didn't come back against the Vikings. So this, do you view this game either as a must win and or an accurate barometer of where they are against a Vikings team that is under 400, under 500, I mean, they're 4-5. So I don't know how you look at it this week, but it's has to be some gauge of progress, and what will you be looking for?
Yeah, no, I mean, I do look at this as a must win, especially because this is your third divisional NFC North game, and you're 0-2 so far, including that week one loss to the Minnesota Vikings and the blowout loss to the Detroit Lions. But I just remember that first game. There was a lot of interior pressure that happened in that game. Javon Hargrave, the Vikings interior defensive lineman, had 7 total pressures against a revamped interior Bears offensive line. So I want to see how that matchup plays out in this second version of it at US Bank Stadium. But also another big thing is when J.J. McCarthy got outside the pocket, that's what hurt the Bears in that first matchup. And look, J.J. McCarthy has still been doing that in spurts here in his four starts that he has. So that's going to be, I think, the interesting matchup here. When, it's not if, it's when J.J. McCarthy extends some of these plays, what's going to be the result? If you go back to last week's loss that the Vikings had to the Baltimore Ravens, there are a couple of plays where J.J. tried extending and tried hitting Justin Jefferson downfield. They end up being interceptions. But there are also plays that he made 2 weeks ago against the Detroit Lions where you're like, okay, now I see why the Vikings invested a top 10 pick in a guy like that. So I think that's going to play a huge just element in how the Bears can ultimately do in this game. Is like, what, how do they contain J.J. McCarthy in those explosive plays downfield? Because that's what hurt them on J.J. McCarthy's touchdown run, the Aaron Jones touchdown reception in that first matchup. The Bears got to limit those explosive plays and obviously create some of their own on offense.
My guest is Nicholas Moriano, Bears analyst and digital media for Marquee Sports Network, host of the Nicholas Moriano Show on YouTube. We're talking Bears Vikings here on Score. So Justin Jefferson and J.J. McCarthy sound like last year's version of Caleb and DJ. They're not together, not on the same page. They can, and you would think that would be the easiest thing in the world is to hit maybe the greatest offensive threat in the NFL, like go to him. And they targeted him, but they can't make it work. So I don't know what you expect. I don't know what you know the problem is, but Jefferson has tended to have big games against the Bears, and now the Bears have the addition they didn't have in game one when they lost. Jordan Addison is back to play for the Vikings. What does that present for the Bears defense?
It just presents more issues for this Bears secondary that, you know, I think they've, for not having as many starters as they've had all season, I think they've played, you know, somewhat well, but not anytime you can add another explosive playmaker like Jordan Addison, that's a problem. But Jalen Naylor, their third wide receiver right now, he's been making some plays as well, especially on some of those more vertical concepts where I think J.J. McCarthy's actually had some pretty good accuracy on some of these fade routes, these fade balls. So anytime you have a trio like that, it's going to test the communication on the back end. So for guys like Nashawn Wright, for example, who had a pick six in that first matchup, like I was saying, Kevin O'Connell's going to throw some eye candy out there, probably knowing exactly how Nashawn Wright played a certain concept the first time. Well, does he try to get him to bite that second time to hit an explosive play over the top? But that's good. But it all falls back to, though, on J.J., because to me, when I'm watching the last 2 weeks against the Ravens and Detroit Lions, you see two different players. Like I said, you see a quarterback that can be accurate, so make some explosive plays in the middle of the field with his arm, and then for whatever reason, the passes that he should complete, they're just off target and high and away, where guys like Justin Jefferson, like you said, one of the greatest receivers in the game right now, don't really have a chance to make that that catch. So what will ultimately play into how JJ plays is how I think Montez Sweat can create pressure off the edge against right tackle Brian O'Neill. He's going to primarily line up on the offense's right side there against their right tackle. And it was interesting watching the Vikings last week at home at US Bank Stadium. Somehow, some way, they had 8 false starts in their own stadium. So Brian O'Neill accounted for 3 of those. And I think how the way that Montez Sweat has been playing, he could definitely impact the way that J.J. McCarthy ends up throwing the ball on Sunday.
He, Montez Sweat, if he can wreck this game, can take the can deodorize the problems in the secondary. I mean, just completely erase them because you're not going to have time to get the ball anywhere. This would be a tremendous time to see him be that kind of multiplier who wrecks a game, who goes all Khalil Mack on it or all Max Crosby, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, look, in the last 4 games for Montez Sweat, going back to that Week 7 matchup against the New Orleans Saints, he has 13 total pressures, has 5 sacks, and on the season, 30 total and 6 sacks on the season. So, I mean, he has been finding a rhythm. I think just understanding what the guy next to him is going to do on certain pass rush reps, but just understanding as a whole what Dennis Allen actually wants from him. So it has been, look, the Bears have absolutely needed somebody to just become that guy on the defensive line. And look, Montez Sweat is being paid to be that guy, but he has been having some nice games stacking him up. But this is going to be a good test. Brian O'Neill, for the most part, their right tackle, has had a pretty decent season, but as of late, has given up a couple more pressures than he's used to. And like I said, had the 3 false starts last week against the Baltimore Ravens.
My guest is Nicholas Moriano. He is the Bears analyst and digital media for Marquee Sports Network, host of the Nicholas Moriano Show on YouTube. We're talking Bears, Vikings, and we're going to talk Caleb. All these cardiac Caleb, all these comebacks, they're bad teams they're coming back on, and you have to think, God, this is great theater. This is wonderful entertainment. Look, they're winning. They're doing. Why are you trailing sucky teams? That would be a question somebody should ask. Why are you behind sucky teams? Now that you've beaten them, you're not a sucky team, but what kind of team are you? The second half of the season will prove that. What Caleb has done and why it looks so different, what's your take on what happened in the last 2 minutes when, yeah, I don't know, is he playing street ball, just living by his wits? What's different about him then that wasn't occurring that we didn't see in the middle of the game when maybe they might have put a team away?
I mean, that's the question, right? If Caleb could play how he plays in the final 5 minutes of games, the Bears would, you know, maybe be undefeated. Who knows? But I think what it is for him, and they, you know, Ben Johnson and Caleb, when you talk about it, it's kind of this live or die situation, right? Like, you have to go out there, make the final play to win the game, or you'll end up with an L. But I think it is that ability to play make, right, Steve? And just go back, even, you know, the Giants, not a good football team, but they did create a lot of pressure. And Caleb Williams' ability to make the Bears' offense right, even when the Giants call up a perfect defensive play, that's what allows some of the bigger plays to happen. That's what allows, let's go, for example, the 20-yard reception on 3rd and 10 to Colson Loveland. You have a free rusher. You're able to evade that. You're able to adjust Colson on the same page as well, make that reception happen. Those plays are just happening more often at those most crucial times. But for whatever reason, through the first 3 quarters, it's a little bit more sporadic. And that's going to be the recipe for the Bears' success moving forward with these final 8 games. Can they be more consistent in the first 3 quarters, so you're not having to come back on, you know, these bad teams like you mentioned? And that's not going to – look, and I guess until it doesn't work, I guess we can't say that it doesn't, but it's like when, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you're
right.
Like, the talent – of these next, you know, few teams that they're going to be facing, with the Philadelphia Eagles this Sunday against the Vikings, 2 matchups with the Packers, like, you can't expect to be down in the fourth, have a low win probability, and somehow come away with a victory. That's just not how good teams will combat what the Bears have been doing in the fourth quarter. But that's the ultimate question. How do you get more consistent and not go down in the fourth and somehow, some way, come away with a victory?
One of the ways that might have been is better or more sensible play calling. And I had a problem. I was one of the people with a palm to forehead watching the Bears play against one of the worst rushing defenses and insisting on throwing it and not enough running. And maybe it was the attractiveness of the open middle of the field and Ben Johnson was channeling his inner Matt Nagy against the Saints, and I know we need to run the ball more. I'm not an idiot. Well, you are an idiot, and that cost you a game. And I'm thinking, why didn't he run more? And I don't know what got caught up, what Ben Johnson got caught up in, unless it was just the open middle of the field. That, oh, we're gonna play all day there. But I would think that Caleb and the Bears would benefit by, again, sticking to the run, making your play action better, giving Caleb and that improved offensive line a greater chance of success. And I don't know if that was spoken about this week, if Ben Johnson answered any of those questions. Did he talk about that? Which is an odd game plan for me.
No, yeah, I can't recall if that was specifically talked about, but just go back to that week one matchup. A guy like DeAndre Swift averaged 3.1 yards per carry on 17 attempts for 53 yards. The Bears' rushing attack through the first 4 weeks was essentially non-existent. They were going into games not getting any type of quality production. But I just think over time, you've allowed that interior offensive line to, one, be more cohesive and just understand what each other is doing. And it's also taken individuals like DeAndre Swift, Kyle Manungai to understand when the rushing lanes are open, how to, one, navigate those rushing lanes and actually hit them. And that's going to be a big difference in this matchup than the one that happened in week one. The resurgence of the Bears rushing attack. If they're capable of doing that, it's going to allow the pass rush to not hit home as I think frequently, because you have to worry about the run, but it also helps too when you don't have to face a guy like Jonathan Greenard. Like, that's a guy, when I was watching just the last 2 weeks, his get off is insane. And when you think about, like, whether it's Theo Benedict or Darnell Wright, that's an issue that could have given them problems. But now you don't have to worry about that. You have a run game going this matchup. The playbook is open. And, you know, throwing in the middle of the field, that's what I know Ben Johnson loved doing that when he was in his 3 years calling plays in Detroit. He's had a lot of success with Rome in the middle of the field. I would not be surprised if there are some opportunities in this game, middle of the field. I Colson Loveland on a seam route, you can already book it for at least a 20-yard gain in this game on Sunday.
All right, booking it. Mark it down. We're going to earmark it, bookmark it, and we'll have the tape and we'll have all that. I got a question about how much rope Zacchaeus should have when you see what you saw, and Luther Burden, the guy they placed a big draft number on, why he wouldn't get more opportunities. He got more than he has all year, but more than Zacchaeus. And I don't know what's going on there and how much blocking plays a part of it, but I know dropping passes is not going to get you a job. So how does that play out this week, if at all?
You know, I just think at this time of the season, the margin for error is so small. And if you're throwing out guys out there who have dropped passes, you're increasing the likelihood of something bad for it to happen. And look, to be completely honest, Olamide Zaccheaus has been a reliable target for Caleb Williams. I go back to even training camp where he was targeting so much, and even throughout the course of this season. But when you do have a talent like Luther Burden, and if he's earned that trust to be more into the offensive game plan, I want to see it. He's a guy that has, I think, a skill set kind of similar to a DJ Moore, maybe even more of a more refined route runner. But this would be a good opportunity for Luther Burden to show what he's more capable of. I mean, the play at the end of the game, you know, where they needed to just gain yardage, and he wins his one-on-one matchup on the outside. And just the confidence he talked about after the game, knowing what he had to do to win that matchup, I think that just should spill confidence into the coaching staff that the rookie knows he's going to get open. You should have faith in the rookie to be out there to make the plays, because, look, it's a week-by-week basis. And last week, Olamide Zaccheaus dropped what should have been – he only got credit for two drops, but a penalty took out the third drop in the middle of the field that he had. So I'm all for seeing more Luther Burden in this Bears offense.
Well, I'm with you on that. Did you make a prediction on the game?
You know, I haven't shared it yet, but I do have the Bears winning this one 27-24, the exact same score as week one, but reversing, the Bears do end up going to 7-3 on the season.
Well, see, I said this to Phil Thompson in the Tribune when he was on earlier. I said, why don't you guys pick 26-25, since that seems to be the popular comeback final score? And I dared him to make a prediction, and you, with your YouTube channel, and you on Marquee, an actual broadcast outlet, you could do this on camera. You could say, Vikes, Bears, 6-7, and you would be just with the popular kids.
I love that, Steve. Actually, I might steal that for the show. I'm about to do it a little bit here.
Go for it. It's yours. I give it to you. You just go ahead and You blend in with the popular kids, okay, Nicholas?
I appreciate that, Steve. Right.
Take care. And we'll look forward to more of your reports on Marquee and the Nicholas Moriano YouTube channel. It's nice. What were the odds that you would show up on the Nicholas Moriano YouTube channel? What great luck you have. Thanks for your time. Thanks. Nicholas Moriano, Bears analyst and digital media for Marquee Sports Network. And host of the Nicholas Moriano Show on YouTube. All right, take a break. When we come back, Punky QB writes a letter to the president. Bring that to you as part of the Wake and Bake Club. Yes, Wake and Bakers. He's one of us, the Punky QB. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Wake and Bake Club.
I love weed.
I smoke weed every second of every day.
Hey, I am your stoner.
Even Smokey the Bear is going, only you can... I knew this.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh. Hey. Smoke weed every day.
I had the flu one time. Did a gummy bear. I was like breakfast at Bernie's, you know, the dead guy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a party, and I went to the party, and they sat me in a chair, and people sat beside me, took pictures, and I'm sitting there like at Bernie's.
Smoke weed every day.
Welcome to our regularly scheduled meeting whenever they schedule me for the Wake and Bake Club. I'm Steve Rosenblum. This is Saturday Suckers. Wake and Bake Club is a regular part of this. In fact, I want to read some texts about telling the Big Ed stories. Big Ed, one of his attorneys, he says, is a Wake and Baker. He may be listening now. He may be waking and baking. One time, Otter and I went in there, and Big Ed walks out, and he says, yeah, and I called him. He said, I said, your guy's here. And I said, is he coming in so I can meet this guy? And Big Ed says, no, he's probably waking and baking right now. So he's baked. All right. 260 texter, thanks for the Big Ed story and for keeping it real. 312 texter, Ed Nero is one of the best people ever, irregardless if his burnt ends were better than sex. Well, I don't know about irregardless, but God bless him for that. Certainly up in that stratosphere. And thanks for listening. But for now, another Wake and Baker. Punky QB wrote a letter to the president. Jim McMahon wrote a letter published in the Sun-Times. It reads thusly. Mr. President, it's time to take the next step on marijuana. I spent 15 years in the NFL, including some of the best and toughest years of my life with the Chicago Bears. Football gave me incredible memories and the honor of helping bring a Super Bowl championship to this city. But like so many players, it also left me with scars you can't see and pain I still carry. For years, I was prescribed opioids, other pharmaceuticals. They dulled my body, but clouded my mind. Marijuana was different, gave me relief, helped me function, and did it without destroying me in the process. That's why I've been speaking out about marijuana for more than a decade, because I know firsthand how powerful and healing this plant can be. Illinois has been a national leader. Medical cannabis was legalized in 2013 and its recreational use for adults in 2019. Sales topped $2 billion last year, funding social equity, community reinvestment, and responsible businesses. But at the federal level, cannabis is still classified as a Schedule I drug alongside heroin, as a substance that has no accepted medical use. That is flat out wrong. Again, this is a letter from Jim McMahon to the president that was printed in the Sun-Times. Rescheduling cannabis as a Schedule III drug would not legalize it nationwide. States like Illinois would set their own rules, but it would, one, open the door to research. Scientists are currently blocked by red tape from studying marijuana meaningfully. Two, treat cannabis like medicine. Schedule III acknowledges what millions already know. Cannabis has legitimate therapeutic value. Three, help responsible businesses. Companies could deduct normal business expenses, reinvesting in communities and employees. Four, make communities safer. Responsible regulation reduces reliance on illicit market and lowers arrests for minor possession. In Illinois suburbs, arrests dropped 63% to 80% after initial reforms. Illinois has shown the benefits of smart cannabis policy. Fewer arrests, more jobs, hundreds of millions in tax revenue, all while giving patients a safer, regulated alternative. But progress is limited while federal law lags. Mr. President, nearly 70% of Americans support legalizing marijuana, and 40 states, including Illinois, allow medical use. Rescheduling is not radical. It's common sense. Marijuana gave me my life back. It can do the same for veterans, patients, and families nationwide. Here in Chicago, I'll always be remembered for being on the historic 85 Bears team. But through my work with Project Champion, a bipartisan organization dedicated to legalizing cannabis, I'm committed to leaving a legacy that ensures the next generation has safer options.
Smoke weed every day.
Mr. President, rescheduling cannabis to Schedule III is the right move for research, for patients, for public safety, and for the future. You have the ball. Run with it. Signed, Jim McMahon, Scottsdale, Arizona. Well done. Well done.
Smoke weed every day.
So we'll see if that plays out the way Jim hopes it is, and a lot of us do. It's nonsensical. Next item, Seth Rogen. He's one of the faces on the Wake and Bake Club's Mount Cushmore. And he was talking about the push to restrict or ban sales of THC beverages amid their rise in popularity shows that clearly somebody is threatened by them. But he expects the hemp drink market to prevail in response to consumer demand. You know, they're going to sell hemp drinks in Target. They're testing out like 10 or 11 Target stores in Minneapolis and are going to sell THC-infused drinks. Rogan has his own cannabis brand, Houseplant, and he's launched infused beverages. He spoke about culture, policy, did an interview with Bon Appetit. It was published recently, and he's just talking about how the THC-infused drinks have become such a hot area of discussion. Someone's threatened by them. A lot of states have a lot of lobbying and pressure to not sell them. Federal records show that in the last 3 months have seen a surge in congressional lobbying from major alcohol companies and associations aiming to influence federal hemp laws. The focus on THC beverages that many consumers are turning to as beer and liquor alternatives. That's what's really going on. And the bill that got the government back, got the government running, that banned, that had a heavy hit to the hemp contributions. Seth Rogen speaking out. Someone's worried. Yeah. You see all that money being spent. There you go.
Smoke weed every day.
All right. Thank you for joining us for this meeting of the Wake and Bake Club. Punky QB writes a letter to the president. Always fun. Take a break when we come back. We'll look at the Bears schedule. What's in store the rest of the season? I think the Bears are going to go 17-0 out there. No, that's just... But we will talk about it. We'll run it down. See what you think. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score. Here's your host, Steve Rosenblum.
Wow. Big voice guy. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum. That's me. Guess I better talk till 2 o'clock. We're off the air here. 630 texter. Jim McMahon hates being called Punky QB. Oh. Well, I don't know that to be true. But I do know he was happy to call himself that in the Super Bowl shuffle. There's a documentary about the making of Super Bowl Shuffle. So Jim McMahon was happy to identify himself as that. And he made, if not a lot of money, certainly a lot of notoriety that led to money as the Punky QB. So we'll just carry on. You keep your ideas. I'll keep mine. So the Bears came through their preseason schedule with a 6-3 record. And forgetting the tiebreaker, but they're tied for first place with the Lions. Lions beat them. They annihilated them, as a matter of fact. And there's still more division game against the Lions, one more division game against Minnesota, and two against Green Bay to come second half of the season. The beast of a back end of a schedule is coming. And really, this is the varsity schedule after what you saw from the JV schedule. And the Bears needed miracles. It wasn't just that the Bears were looking for miracles. They were relying on them. And they got them. And now they're 6-3 going into Minnesota. They have four more road games starting Sunday in Minnesota. Let's just take a look at these things, these games, these opponents. Minnesota. They've lost 9 of their last 11 to the Vikings overall and lost 3 of their last 4 in Minnesota. So that's not promising on its own. The Bears have won one in a row against the Packers. That's good. It's good, right? That's all you need to know. Pay no attention to the 11 straight losses before that or the 16 of 17 losses before that or the 20 of 22 before that. All those were overall. As for games in Lambeau, the Bears, again, have won one in a row in Lambeau Field. That's all you need to know. Pay no attention to the eight straight losses in Green Bay before that. We have two games with Green Bay coming up, second half of the year. And they'll face the Eagles, right? Bears have lost six straight overall to the Eagles, including the double doink. Y'all remember that, don't you? The end of Matt Nagy. It wasn't actually the end, but we could see it from there, and that's how it went. Yeah, that's what Cody Parkey goes on the Today Show and shocks all of Hallis Hall. What is he doing? The Bears have lost their last three in Philly. They haven't won there since 2011. Hello. 2011. 14 years. They have lost eight of their last 10 in San Francisco. Yes, the 49ers, whatever you might make of them, they're on the schedule, the back half of the schedule, this beast of a thing. And the Bears have lost eight of their last 10 in San Francisco, and that goes back to when Bears were good, like Ditka good. But they have won two of their last three there. I don't know how that happened, but they've won two of their last three, and you'll take that. So all this, in looking at the last half of the Bears' schedule, this is what's coming up, especially with it, those road games, and you're going to see Green Bay come in here, and they're going to Bears owner Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sure we'll see some games flexed, right? The Lions game at the end of the year, that'll probably be flexed. So you're going to have a little bit of a regular scheduling. Go back to the start of the season, right? Bears lose their first two games. They lose to Minnesota. This game should be a barometer of how far they've come, how they've improved. They lose to Minnesota. They have a 17-6 lead at home in Ben Johnson's opener. And all of a sudden, J.J. McCarthy happens and he becomes the league MVP. Three touchdowns in the fourth quarter for the hometown kid. And then Ben Johnson gets to face his old team, Detroit Lions, and they get obliterated. 51-21. I mean, that's, if ever there was a need for a mercy rule, it would be Ben Johnson against the Lions. So Bears start 0-2. Brad Biggs noted this then. This is the 23rd time in franchise history the Bears have started 0-2. Never before have they turned 0-2 into a playoff season, and being 0-2 in the division makes matters worse. I'll get to that in a moment. I know they're 6-3 now, and they are where they are, and that's record-wise tied with Detroit for first place in the division. Overall, 12.2% of the teams to start 0-2 have reached the playoffs since 1990. That's a pretty good body of work. On ESPN Sunday NFL Countdown, former score legend Mike Greenberg. I don't know. Tyler, does the name Mike Greenberg, do you remember him as a score legend?
Score legend? No.
No. Just a talking head on the TV.
Yes.
Yeah. I did shows with Greenbaum. We did shows. We knew each other quite well. And his imprint over every mirror is known throughout the score hallways. He never met a mirror he didn't primp for. He noted this. No NFL team has started 0-2 with both losses to division foes and made the playoffs. So that compounds Brad Biggs's note that the Bears have started 0-2 23 times and never made the playoffs. Greeny, score legend, says no NFL team, period, not just the Bears, no NFL team, period, has started 0-2 with both losses to division foes and made the playoffs. So none of that seems hopeful, does it? When you look at those numbers. But this year seems different. You want to believe it's different. Or is it just the recency bias of they can make miracles happen against sucky teams? Where are you on this Bears team, Tyler? Good? Bad?
Just about to ask you the same thing. Like, what is it to you that sticks out? Like, is this Bears team different?
It is different in that they're not losing to sucky teams. See, that ensures they're not a sucky team. You lose to sucky teams, you are a sucky team. I don't make the rules, I just enforce them. So they have shown me against sucky teams, they can come back. It's still unanswered why you got yourself in that position in the first place. How could you be trailing the Giants? Why aren't you running over them? Literally running over them. How could you get into that kind of game with the Bengals? And you did. And after that Bengals game, you look at the Bears defense and you go, really, guys? Huh? But they did the one thing Jamar Chase was complaining about. Did you see that on tape? Did you see the videotape as Jamar Chase, walks to the locker room and he just yells out, one more stop. He keeps going. The Bears defense got the stop, right? Should that be what it comes down to? What do you make of a team like this? You want to believe this is all building the right foundation for Caleb Williams. Because again, 6-3, tied with Detroit for first place for now, with the preseason part of the schedule done, and now comes the varsity. It's still all about, don't lose sight of it. It's still all about him. But there's no reason you can't think the playoffs might be here. Some of the teams you looked at, maybe they're not that good. Maybe they aren't. Minnesota's not a good team. Their record tells you that. They're 4-5. Minnesota's not a good team. You got a quarterback who can't get on the same page with one of the greatest offensive threats in the league. That's a sucky team. Just like last year, you saw the Bears as a sucky team when Caleb Williams couldn't figure it out with DJ Moore. How could you not? Mitch Trubisky, who was what? He was a mess. But he could find Allen Robinson. He knew where the guy was. He knew where the gold was. So, the Bears are playing a sucky team. It's like you almost expect them to be behind, don't you? Do you think they're going to be behind?
It's fair to assume.
The question of whether they can come back on the road like that in a dome. The problems. We had Emily Liker on. I think it was Emily Liker. One of our guests today made the point that they had, maybe it was Phil Thompson, the Vikings are playing at home and they had 8 false starts. They're playing at home. It's their dome. And they have 8 false starts. And the guy that Montez Sweat will be facing is the guy who committed 3 of them. That doesn't mean the Bears' offensive line is going to be perfect. And that's the problem. If your offense going to keep the ball away, you're going to run the ball, you're going to do all that stuff, you can't be having the pre-snap problems, false starts. And we've seen what happens when you try to audible in those loud Minnesota buildings. Did you ever see the tape of that, Tyler, when Jim Harbaugh tried to audible, Not everybody got the audible. And then he got a whole face full of Ditka.
Wasn't good.
Not good.
Was not good.
Yeah.
And as someone who has been to that Viking stadium a couple times for some games, it gets loud in there. It was very loud.
You have been in there with the
Yep. I've been to their thing for I have a buddy who goes to college up there, so we've gone to a game each of the last couple of years I visited.
Yeah.
Bears Vikings was the first one in 2022 when Amir Smith-Marset got stripped when they were driving to try to score the game-winning drive.
Uh-huh.
That was a painful one.
There have been a lot of them. They don't win a lot of games up there. Not recently. So all those numbers, the numbers from the beginning of the year tell you 0-2, Bears never make the playoffs. They haven't 23 times. 0-2 with both losses in your division. Nobody in the NFL makes playoffs. But doesn't this feel different?
The Bears on the right side of history?
Well, making a new kind of history, they would be the first team in the NFL, if they make the playoffs, they would be the first team in history to have done that with their first two losses being in the division. And even though the Bears have played a bunch of sucky teams, they haven't lost to them, put themselves in a position to say, yeah, we can look at the playoffs. Some of these teams aren't going to be as good. Some of these teams are going to suffer injuries that will be killers. So, be hopeful about this. The Bears are playing a sucky team tomorrow. The Bears should win. I don't know how, but that's what they do. Those are the teams they do it against. I want to thank Phil Thompson of the Tribune, talking Bears. Emily Leiker of the Minnesota Star Tribune. Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation. And Nicholas Moriano, Bears analyst, digital media for Marquee Sports Network. Tyler Farengold, what a nearly spectacular show you produced. If nobody important listened, I'll be back next week on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh yeah,
that's it.
Listen up, football fans, you won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.